Welcome to the latest midweek podcast. We're in John chapter 4 this week. John 4. I'll give you a moment just to turn that up. John 4 comes immediately after John 3. No surprises there, where Jesus, you may remember, has a long nighttime conversation with Nicodemus, one of the great and the good in the Israel of Jesus' day. Nicodemus seeks Jesus out and they have a long conversation. And then in John 4, we find Jesus moving on and meeting someone very different indeed. Let me read the first 10 verses. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, that's John the Baptist, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." It's a fabulous story, John chapter 4, of this great divine appointment Jesus has with this lady by the well. Where are we? Verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. There's such an emphasis on that in the original. It seems to be implying that there's more than just sort of geographical necessity going on here, that to get from where he was in Judea to where he wanted to go in Galilee, he had to go through Samaria. It's like this was a divine appointment in Jesus' life to be here at this time to meet this lady. And there he is, about the sixth hour, verse 6, that's noon. So you can imagine Jesus sat there exhausted in the blazing hot midday sun. And this woman turns up at the well to draw water. And you may have heard, such a ridiculous time to go out to draw water from a well. Everyone who had any sense went out first thing in the morning when it was cool, or last thing in the day when it was beginning to get cool again. That's when you went to do the heavy work of drawing water and carrying it back home. She comes in the middle of the day on her own, it seems. Why would that be? Well, presumably because she's a complete outcast in that society. No one else wants her anywhere near them. That's why she goes there then, so she can avoid people. And Jesus meets her. Later on in the story, if we read on, we'd find out why she would have been such an outcast. Her life, Jesus knows, is a complete moral mess, verses 17 and 18. She's had five husbands. She's now with another man she's not even married to. Just an absolute mess. We're not quite sure whether that's because she has moved from one to another or because she has been discarded by one husband after another. But either way, people don't seem to want to be near her, but Jesus is there to meet her. Just remarkable. Reminder, he's interested in absolutely everybody, not just the great and the good, like Nicodemus, John 3, but someone no one else wants to be near, John 4. And he speaks to her so gently. "Give me a drink," he says, verse 7. That's not a cold order, I don't think. Jesus is genuinely saying, "Could you get me some water, please?" Probably something in that too for our conversations with other people. Even if we're considering, you know, their evangelistic conversations, like Jesus' conversation with this lady here. We don't begin from a position of, "I'm lording it over you and you just need to be quiet because I've got this bit of information I need to get across to you." We make ourselves vulnerable. We ask questions. We ask people to serve us like Jesus does here. I think there's something in that too. He asks her for a drink, and she can't believe it. She knows how scandalous this is, verse 9. It's not just that she's a woman, it's that she's a Samaritan woman. And as we're told at the end of verse 9, Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. They hated Samaritans. But Jesus doesn't hate her. And then he speaks these words in verse 10. He answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." See what he's saying? If you knew what's on offer, the gift of God, and if you knew who I am, who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me for living water. He's talking about spiritual life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you see what Jesus is saying? If we know what's on offer, if we know who he is, what will we do? We'll ask for things. It's really interesting. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3, verse 16, which is just up on the same page in my version here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." If we know who Jesus is, God's only son, John 3 says, 3 verse 16, and if we know what's on offer, not perishing but having eternal life, what will we do? Well, John 3:16 says we'll believe. John 4 verse 10 says we'll ask for things. What's the link between those two things? Well, very simply, just this. If we'll believe in Jesus, if we trust him, we will ask him for things. We really will. Asking, someone has said, is faith. It's belief just naturally breathing out. If you trust someone, if you trust Jesus, asking him for things is something we just can't help doing. It's as natural as you and me breathing out all the time, as we're doing during our days. It's recognizing who he is, what he offers, and thinking, "I need your help, I need you. Please, can you help me with this?" We know that God loves us to ask him for things. Philippians 4 verse 6 makes that very clear. It's like he knows how reluctant we'll sometimes be to do this. So Philippians 4 verse 6, "Don't be anxious about anything," he says, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Go and ask me for things, God says. And it's so important that we do that, that we're told in the book of James that sometimes God holds good things back from us until we do. You don't have good things, James says, because you don't ask, James 4 verse 2. God sometimes holds things back to remind us we need to ask him for things, because that is the natural outcome of real faith in him, is that we'll ask him for things. And so, very simple encouragement from this week's midweek podcast in John 4 verse 10. Are you remembering to ask God for things at the moment? I mean, there's more to prayer. Think about the Lord's Prayer. We praise God. We acknowledge who he is. We don't just ask him for things. Maybe you've heard that little acronym for prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Prayer is adoration. It's adoring God. It's confession. It's confessing our sins. It's thanksgiving. It's giving thanks for things. And it's supplication. It's asking for things. But it is partly about asking him for things. That is a key part of prayer. And so the question again, are you remembering to ask him for things at the moment? What do you need at the moment? As you think about your life right now, or your life as far as you know it's about to go, what are you bothered by at the moment? What's on your mind? Well, are you remembering to ask him about those things? Not just to worry about them, not just to stew about them, not just to scheme and plan how you could get hold of them, but are you remembering to ask him for things? Jesus' words again, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Knowing who he is, what he offers, means we will ask him for things as we trust him. I'm going to suggest that you press pause right now and just spend a moment or two asking him for things you're longing for right now, things you'd love to have, things you know you need. Why not put this straight into practice? Press pause and do that now. Okay. I'm assuming you've said a prayer of your own and asked the Lord for things that you know you need right now. Just as we finish, I'll lead us in one more prayer. And it's a prayer that Lee Gatiss of the Church Society has written. One of his prayers for a time of sickness. A great prayer for us to pray in these coronavirus days. The words are in the email with the midweek podcast, so you could follow along there if you wanted to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our ever-present help in trouble, our fortress and our God, calm the anxious fears of all who turn to you. Give strength and healing to those who are sick, and courage and skill to those who care for them. Grant wisdom and clarity to those in authority, and humble us all to call upon you, that we may be saved not only in this life, but also for that which is to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for joining us. Do join us on Friday, 8:30 a.m. for the pandemic prayer meeting. If you can, it would be lovely to see you there. Look out for the online service for Sunday and details of the Zoom coffee then as well. Have a good rest of the week.